All right, starting at the top of Kuvav and Ralph, the two dots. So continuing the story of Rav Anon. Rav Anon got himself into a little bit of trouble at the end of Kuvham and Bet. And the Gemara is continuing about the story of Rav Anon getting himself into a little trouble. Rav Anon have a regular Eliyahu da Atigabei. Rav Anon, Eliyahu was a regular visitor with Rav Anon. Rav Matnei lay Seder de Eliyahu, and he was teaching him the, you know, what we know as Seder Eliyahu Rabba, Seder Eliyahu Zuta, that he was learning with Eliyahu Anavi. Came into Avod Hochi after this case, this, what we talked about yesterday, Stalin. Eliyahu stopped coming back to him. So yesterday he had done something inappropriate. Two things he did inappropriately. One was that he accepted the gift from this gentleman, because this gentleman had come to try to give him shochat, to bribe him, and inappropriately in the end, he accepted the gift because the gentleman said, well, I'm just bringing it to you because I want to be like, I'm being makir bikurim, because when you give it to a talmid chacham, it's like you're makir bikurim. And number two was that he sent the din before Rav Nachman, and then Rav Nachman accepted the din because it came from Rav Anon, and then he unfairly favored the din because of that, or if not one, let the din go first, and that hurt the other side, the litigant on the other side, from he wasn't able to nistatim tanotap, that he was, his claims were closed up, I mean that he was unable to make his proper claims. So because of that, Eliyahu Navi stopped coming to Rav Anon. So Rav Anon was upset, obviously, Yotiv Betanito, he has fasted, Uvar Rachme, and he davened Ba'ato, and then Eliyahu came back. But it wasn't the same as it was before. Ki Ata, he was too scared, he couldn't sit in front of him at this point in time, because he was so scared of Eliyahu. So Ba'aved Tevuto, he made himself a little a little box, Yatim Kamei, and he would sit in the box, so they wouldn't be looking at Eliyahu, so he wouldn't be scared. Ad Apiklei Sidra, until he learned his Seder Eliyahu. Vaino Damrei, Seder Eliyahu Rabo, and Seder Eliyahu Zuta. So the Seder Eliyahu Rabo is what he learned the first time with Eliyahu directly, and the second time was what he learned with Eliyahu when he was inside the box. So this also points out that he learned four times as much. So the Rabo is called Rabo because there's four times as much information in Seder Eliyahu Rabba, there is in Seder Eliyahu Zuta. So that's the story of Rav Anon. The Marsha points out that that was Mida Keneged Mida. That it, well, I mentioned before that Rav Anon had done two inappropriate things. One was that he had taken the gift, and number two was that he had caused problems in the litigation with this gentleman. So with regards to the gift, his fasting solved the problem of the gift, or he was the tshuva that he was doing for taking the gift inappropriately. He fasted and he davened, so that worked. The problem was that he couldn't rectify the problems that arose with the litigation, which was that one of the parties was then felt that he couldn't speak up properly, or lost his will to speak up because of the way Rav Nachman treated the case. So therefore, he was the equivalent of being afraid of saying over what he wants to say. The Rav Anon was still afraid of Eliyahu afterwards. So one of those issues remained for him, and that's why when he met Eliyahu afterwards, he was afraid to see him.
So you think if Art Scroll did a biography of Rav Anon, this certainly never made it in.
Rishnei Rav Yosef have a ritzka. Right, so in the times of Rav Yosef, there was anger from Hashem. When there's anger from Hashem, what does it mean? Rashi says, Barav Leola. There's a famine. Right, Amalei Rabbanon Rav Yosef, Baimar Rachme. So Rabbanon said to Rav Yosef, let daven so that the rabbis will go away. Amalu Hashto Ma Elisha Dihabu Rabbanon Mithrei Mekamei. That Elisha, when the Rabbanon used to leave him, Habu Paishe Trey Alpun Matan, there were more than 2,200. Learning by him, Rabbanon be done. When there was a famine, he did not daven to remove the famine. I know, you buy your achme? I should daven. Have the famine go. And this goes against a lot of the Gemaras in our in Tanis. In Tanis, we always have that the chacham daven for rain to go away, for rav to go away. So the Marsha suggests that there are different levels of famine. That there's a rav of plia, which means a total famine, where everything is wiped out. And then that's the case, then the Chachamim would daven for the famine to be removed. Whereas here, it wasn't that there was a total famine, but there was enough of a famine that the prices on food went up, and it made it hard for the Talmid Chachamim to live, because the pricing went up, and they didn't really have large incomes. And therefore, it made a duchad the rabbanon. So in this case, he felt that he could compare himself to Elisha. And by Elisha Novi, we see that he had 2,200 talmid chachamim, and yet he did not daven for the famine to go away. When we might be the paishi hafi, how do you know that he had so many talmidim? How do you know that Elisha had so many bayim? Dechtir, by the pasuk, this is a pasuk we quoted yesterday, it's a continuation of the parak that they quoted yesterday for teach you that when you bring bikurim to a talmid chacham, it's like bringing bikurim up to your shrine. When you're bringing a gift to a talmid chacham, it's like bringing bikurim to your shrine. So, the pasuk says, Vayomer mishartom ma'atein zeh lifnei me'a'ish. So what should I give? He didn't have anything to give. Elisha said, go feed the talmid chacham. And he said, what do you mean? What am I going to give before these 100 ish, these 100 men? What does it mean for 400 people? Right? This is all this food was going to be given to 100 people. There was definitely more than that in a year of famine. There's definitely more than that. Each one of them was giving or serving before 100 people. So you have in between he gives the pasuk of what he gave. We start with Ishba Mibal Shlisha Aviyaveli Ish Elokim Lechem Bikurim Esrim Lechem Silrim Vekarmel Betzlikuno. Right, so you have Esrim is 20, and then you have the Lechem Bikurim is 21, and the Karmel Betzlikuno is 22. So you have 22 types of food with 100 people. So each type or each unit goes for 100 people. That gets you to 2,200 people. That's how you get the 2,200 talmidim that stood before Elisha. When they used to leave the learning by Rav, the Beis Midrash of Rav, there was 1,000 1,200 people that came from before, 1,200 that left before Rav. So you have at the time of Elisha, there were 2,200 talmidim. By the time Rav has the base measures, there are only 1,200 talmidim. Mibei Rav Huna, so then in a later generation, by the time Rav Huna, Avapaishe, Tamnimei, Rabbanan, there were 800 Rabbanan. So you see these, the Dildul Adoros, how each generation there are fewer and fewer talmidim chacham sitting in front of the teachers. So by Elisha, there was 2,200. By Rav, there's 1,200. By Rav Huna, there's only 800 now. Rabuna Abadorish with Tlesar Morai, because there were 800 people, he used to, remember, they didn't have PA systems then, they couldn't, no Ramco. So how did they do this? He had 13 Amorai. Amorai were people who spoke. The Amora himself would speak to them, and then they would repeat what the Amora said out loud. Right? Both possibly in Aramaic, so that it was for the people could understand, but more importantly, they used to be able to call out. So he used to have the people sitting around him in a circle, and he had 13, we call them human PA systems. And he used to speak to these 13 people, and then they would blast out what he said in every direction.
No wonder there's so much machakas to what these people say.
Right, I was thinking about that too.
Broken telephone.
Right. So when the Rabbanan, the 800 Rabbanan used to get up from Rav Huna's yeshiva, and they used to shake out their coats, right? They were sitting out in the field, so they had their coats with dirty, so they'd shake out their coats. I was asleep, there was so much dust. From when they got up, the Kasele Yoma used to cover up the day. The Amri Bar Marova in Eretz Yisrael, he was teaching Bubba, they saw in Eretz Yisrael, they said, Kabbalah even mitzipta Rav Huna, blah, blah. Wow, now we know that Rav Huna's finished giving shir, because it got dark again in the daytime. So the Mashal also points out that that means that when they get up from learning, what is glima and avak and dust? Dust refers to the midos. Right? We say in avos vavei mitabek b'afar raglehem. And then also many times in Chas we see there's something called avak, lashon hara, avak, ribit. Right? It's a term for conduct or behavior. It says it's pointing out that these talmidim, after they were osik b'misifta with learning, and when they got up, they took their coats with them, and they shook out the dust. It means that they were still working on their midos. They still acted appropriately even after they left the Beis Medrash. Okay, kemifterei rabbonim in be'rabba b'rabbi Yosef. Now not the Beis Medrash, rabbi rabbi Yosef, paishu arba meya. There's 400. You see the numbers going down. And they called themselves orphans, meaning that they were already down from the 2,200 in Elisha's time, now they're down to 400. So this is the leader Doros, right? The last of the Amoraim. There's more than 200 people. The orphans of the orphans, meaning that they're already down to 200 only the Chachamim that are learning by them at that time. So this goes back to a statement that we saw yesterday about who's entitled to take money from the Kumas Alishka. So we said there were certain people who were paid out of the public funds. One of those people was the Dayane Yerushalayim, right? Because they had done Xeros and Xelos in Yerushalayim. They got paid because they were providing a public service. They got paid out of the Kumas Alishka. So Mevakri Mumim Shirushalayim may not inscar on the Kumas Alishka. So they used to check the Mumim of the Karbonos. They also got paid out of the public coffers because, again, they were providing a public service and they had to give up everything else that they did in order to do this. Those Talmidei Chachamim that used to teach the halachos of Shechita to the Kohanim, they knew how to do Shechita properly in the Mikdash, they also get paid out of the public coffers. And we're going to Rav Tamei Chum Dalam Dim Chilkos Kamitza LeKohanim. Those are taught how to do Kamitza, right, which is for the Menachos, the equivalent of Shechita by the Menachos, where you take off the fistful. That Milkim Skar Mitzvah Lishka also got paid out of the public funds. So that's, again, these two items Tosfos mentioned yesterday when we talked to Tosfos yesterday. He mentioned that those, how could it be that they paid, even though Torah is supposed to be free and teaching the Torah is supposed to be free, that the Tosfos Bottom said that they were not taking it for Skal Tamar Torah, but they were rather taking it as Skar B'Teila, number one, that they were not working, and number two is that they were giving up their entire parnasa in order to work for the tzibur. They were servicing the tzibur as a whole, and therefore it was incumbent on the tzibur to be mefarnes these individuals who were doing their avoda for the tzibur. Okay, the last one's an interesting. Magia Sfarim Shib Yerushalayim. So they used to check the Sfarim in Yerushalayim. They used to take their money out of the Shumas Lishka about public office. What's Magia Sfarim? Magia Sfarim. So look in Rashi. What's Magia Sfarim? Shekol Adam V'Adam. Of every person. I mean, people had private, Sifrei Torah. Learning then, they didn't have printed books like we have today. When they had a sefer, a Torah. So these individuals used to go around and correct or check the sfarim to make sure that they were correct. She'asur l'shahot sefer she'en mugah. It's also to leave over, have around a puzzle, sefer Torah, puzzle, a sefer. Because the whole point of the Mesorah was that it was an exact Mesorah. If you left over something that was incorrect, then people would learn from it, and their mistake would be then preserved forever. Right? That's the idea. I mean, we're so makbid on how a Sefer Torah looks. It's in order to preserve the integrity of the Sefer Torah. If there's someone leaving over a Sefer Torah that's not in correct form, it will be copied over and over again, and the mistake will be preserved. In your house there should be no mistakes or bad things in your house. Right. So this based on that the people were being lazy about this. They weren't taking care of this issue. And therefore they were mafkir the Shumas Alishka. They allowed the public coffers to be used for this purpose. It's very interesting. That they, in order to preserve the Mesorah, and that people were not taking care of this issue of leaving around Sifrei Torah or learning that would have been with mistakes in it, they went ahead and took on the responsibility of making sure that the Sifrei Torah were correct and that the Mesorah would be passed down correctly. So the women who make the parochet, right, those large curtains in the base of Mikdash, they got paid out of the Shumas Alishka. I said they got paid out of the actual building fund of the base of Mikdash. Because the parochot are made instead of what would have been the building. Now this is true in the second base of Mikdash. Right? In the first base of Mikdash, there were walls between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. When it came and they built the second base of Mikdash, the roof was too high. And because the roof was too high, they were unable to build a wall that high. So Gemara says, well, why don't you widen the base of the wall? When you have to build taller, you widen the base and you get it. So Gemara says they didn't want to widen the base because then it would have eaten up a portion of the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Kodesh. And there was only one Amma that was left. The thickness of the wall, the first base image is called Amma Traklin. That one Amma was the thickness of the wall between the Kodesh and Kodesh HaKadoshim. With that one Amma thick base, they were unable to build a wall that high. So in the second base of Mikdash, they instead hung a curtain between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The problem was that they didn't know which Amma, did it belong to the Kodesh or the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So they ended up hanging two curtains, one on each end of the Amma, and that's when we talk about in Yoma, when the Kohen Gadol walked, he walked between the two, right? He walked between the two curtains in order to get into the Kodesh and Kodesh HaKadoshim, because one was open on the northern side, and one was open. The one in Kodesh was open on the southern side. So he'd walk in, have to walk between them and then on the other side. But those curtains, that's what Rav Nachman is saying, that those curtains are taka binyan. They're instead of the wall that was there. So if they're instead of the wall, then you should use building funds, bedek habayit, the maintenance funds. They should be used to pay for the parochot because they are taka binyan. So for any American division, parochot taka binyan asiyot. Meitvei, noshim orgot per parochot, beit garmo, almayase alechem apanim, ubeit avtino samasi ektoret. So the women who made the parochot and beit garmo, who we know from Yoma, used to be experts at lechem apanim, so they used to cook it all the time, or bake it, Beit avtino samasi ektoret, and beit avtinos who were experts in the ektoret. They all got paid out of the Shemeshalishka. They weren't getting paid out of Bedek Abayit. So Hatam Vitabavit. No, those parochot are for the doorways. I mean, they were like She'arim to the Azara that needed parochot. Instead, those are made simply for Tznius. Those are not halachic separation walls, but rather the Tznius. Those were paid out of Shemeshalishka. There were 13 parochas in the Mikdash. Seven for the seven gateways into the Azara. One for the doorway to the Heichal. One for the doorway to the Burma. Beis Bitvir is being put between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Beis Kinegdam Ba'aliyah. This also learned in Midos Tamid that the Kodesh HaKadoshim was two levels. It was the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and above it there was a second level above the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and from there that's how they lowered themselves down into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that upper chamber. That upper chamber, there was an equivalent upper chamber in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the curtains, there was a second set of curtains that did the exact same thing, that divided like they did in the down below between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which gives you fourth, right? So you have the seven that are around the Azara, the Heichal, the Ulam, and then four that separated between the Kodesh and the Kodeshim, that gets you the 13. So there were different types of curtains, depending on how the curtain served. The curtain was for the Gushari Azara, possibly where there's no halachic requirement of a separation, but they put curtains there for the Tznius. Those curtains were taken out of the Shumas Alishka, right, out of the public coffers, and the Pedek HaBayis coffers were used to pay for the curtains that were used, those four curtains that were used between the Kodesh and the Kodeshim, which replaced what were walls in the time of the Bayit Rishon. All right, Tan Rabbanan. Noshim. In Mishnayos and Parah, there's a description that they used to bring up these children specifically to work with the Parah Aduma, that they wanted to keep these Kohanim B'Tara. That's because the Parah Aduma was an exceptional ceremony and need for Klal Yisrael. When you needed to get rid of Tumas Meis, there was only one way to get rid of it, and that was through the Parah Aduma. So they used to do it very carefully, and one of the things they took care to do was to make sure that the children that worked on it were Tahor the Gamre. So the women used to give birth inside of a house that was on stilts to make sure that there was no kever to home, and they used to bring them up in this stone house in an area where they could not become Tamei at all until they were 7 or 8, and then they used to ride them out on special platforms on the back of the animals to go to draw the water from the Parah Aduma. And all of this, Rashi points out that it was partly done because they used to be Metami the Kohen Gadol, is actually Machlokas, Rashi and Tosos and others in the Gemara in Yoma, whether they actually were Metami him, or if he was Tamei, it's okay. But a Kohen Gadol is Tamei Tibul Yom, is allowed to do the Parah Aduma. It's one of the arguments between the Purushim and the Tzidu. Psukim. Psukim believe that a Kohen Gadol could not be Tamei Tevul Yom, whereas the Purushim, right, where we are descended from, believe that the Masorah of the Gemara was that they could be a Tevul Yom. So Machlokes is Nishan whether they actually were Metame, the Kohen Gadol, to be a Tevul Yom, to prove to the Psukim that it could be this way, or did they be, were they Metame some Tumah D'Rabbanan, just to show the point that he could be Tamei Tevul Yom, but not that they actually made him into a Tevul Yom. But either way, because of that, they were very machmir with other things. They only used stone dishes or utensils for the Parah Aduma. There are other things that they're very machmir about by Parah Aduma to offset the zilzal, the slight irrigation of this tara by allowing it to be its full yom. Right? Then they used to do all these things. So one of those things was that these women brought up their kids. They used to give birth to their kids in this special safe house, let's call it, or tahar house. And so they had to be supported. Right? They were living in this house with their kids. How they support it? So Tarma Nashim Magdal Banana Parah, you know them scar me to my Salishka. They just get paid out of the public coffers.
Huh? Other people do this to them?
No.
I heard there were.
Yeah?
Yeah, but it could be just awesome.
I don't know. It's possible there are. I have no knowledge of them, but that's not a proof.
Some very unique place called Ramat Shemesh Base.
They used to get paid out of the public.
They only maintained certain aspects of it. That was the extra stringencies on certain kelim. The rest of it, they didn't get.
There's some coverage. I was sure.
They used to take out of their skarami chumasalishka. They used to take their money out of the public coffers because they were providing a public service in the end. And everybody needed, in the end, they needed the paratuma. They needed to be mitahir, the term, and they therefore got out of the public coffers. Abba Sholom, no, Nashim Yikaros, Shabu Yushalayim, Yuzano Totam, Ufarnesel Totam. The rich women of Yushalayim, this used to be the, you know, the big thing. They used to get, you know, the, it used to be the Billy Jacobson Hall, you know, and they used to sponsor the all the families that lived in there, or the women and the children that lived in there. That was their big thing. They got to put their name on it, and that was one of the yokes of the wealthy people, was to support these families that were bringing up their children to Latara for the Parah Aduma. All right, by my name, Rav Huna Meirav. So Rav Huna asked me, Rav, so this is going to really take up the most of the rest of the Amud today. It's a question about Kli Sharet, the utensils that are used in the Mikdash. Maush Yasu Mikotche Berekabayis. Are they, the Kli Sharet, those utensils that are used in the Beis HaMikdash, are they made from the building fund, the maintenance fund in the Beis HaMikdash? Because Tzorat Mizbeach, you know, they're used in the service of the Mizbeach. And since the Mizbeach, at least the Mizbeach HaDama, was made from building funds, therefore they should be taken out of Mikotche Berekabai Satu. They should come out of the building fund. Oh, Torah Korban in you. They're really made to service the Karbanot. And the Karbanot come out of the Shumas Lishka. They come out of the public coffers that you will see in time, right? They had to come, the Karbanot had to come out of the public coffers because all of Klai Yisrael were Shutafim, right? We're partners. It's the obligation to bring a Karban Tamid or a Karban Musaf, all the Karbanate Tzibor in the Mikdash, was an obligation of the Tzibor. So they used to take the Shulim and Lishka, that's what we do by the Shkolim, right? They used to be, take the Shekel, every person that was the Shkolim that they used to give in Adar time, that's what we give, right? Zeichel and Mikdash, we give that by Purim time. Before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, they should collect from all Klai Yisrael these new Shkolim, and they used those, that used to become the public coffers from which they bought the karbanos, so that each person in Bnei Yisrael would have a chelek in the karbanos. So then, what do they do with the money? The part of that public coffers we just saw before, they were used to pay for the people to teach Yilchos Shlita, Kilkos Kmitza, Magia Sparim. Also, yesterday's daf we talked about the Dayani Gzeros and Zelos. So these funds were public funds where Klal Yisrael pitched in together to pay for these services that technically would service all of Klal Yisrael. So which one do the Kli Sharet get made out of? Do the Kli Sharet, the utensils of the Mikdash, are they part of the Karbanos? Therefore they get taken out of the Trumas Lishka, or are they part of the Binyan, the building itself, the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore they'd be taken out of the building funds, or out of the funds that were relegated for maintenance of the Beis HaMikdash and the building of the Mikdash. Amalei, say back to me, not sin on the Trumas Lishka, they're taken out of the public coffers. Adrian, he says, wait, in Divrei Yomar, it says, by Yoyash, when they find Kalotam, So in that time, they realized that the Beis Hamikdash is under service, and because of that, they want to rebuild it. So they put a. We read this not in from Divrei Yomim, we live in Melachim. We read this on Parshat Shkalim, right? That they have the big box that they drill a hole in, and then they put the money in it. So they collected the money, and they went and they fixed up the Beis Hamikdash with the money that they collected. Then with the Shara Ketzef, that which was left over, Yasu came with the Beit Hashem Kli Sharis. So leftover money from the money they collected to fix up the Mikdash, they made the Kli Sharis. So what do you see? They took the funds from the building funds. I mean, the funds that were collected to fix up the Mikdash, they took funds there to make Kelim. So I love his answer back to them. Amalei d'akriach tuvei, lo akriach neviei. Says, so you learned Ksuvim, but you didn't learn Navi? Because he's quoting from Divrei Hayamim to prove his point. He says, oh, so from you quote Divrei Hayamim, but you didn't quote the Navi. What's the pasuk in the Navi? That's in Malachim Beis. It says, what? Aklo Yaseh Beit Hashem spoke. They would know there was no right leftover money from the bayit, from the money that was designated for the bayit. They gave it to the people whom did the work for the Mikdash. So you see what? They didn't use it for Kalim in the Mikdash. They rather used it to pay off the workers. It was only used for workers and not for the clay Beis HaMikdash. So Yachay Kashu Kraya Dodi. All right, fine. So you're right, but you still have two psukim. One puzzle says they did. One puzzle says they didn't. So Kashu Kanchu Gavu Volotiru or Kanchu Gavu Volotiru. One place they collected and they had extra, and one place they collected and they didn't have extra. So Beichay Gavu Volotiru might have it. So what that they have extra? Why does having extra leftover from the building fund have any bearing? I mean, if you can't use it for the kelim, it doesn't matter if you have leftovers or you don't have leftovers. So why should it matter if there's leftover money? It says, that's because I'm rebuilding Lev Beis Din Matna Elohim. Beis Din made a tznai that when they collect for the building fund, if there is leftovers, if there's extra leftover, in Hutzruchu, if they need it for the Bet HaKabayit, they'll be used for the Ebim Levi, the Kli Sharis. They'll be used for Kli Sharis. So that's from the conversation between, or the question that Rav Huna was asked by Rav Huna Meirav, right there, Rav asked Rav Huna. So there we see what? The Kli Sharis were only used out of Trumas Elishva, at least that was his belief, and therefore he goes that way. He proves it through the Pesukim, even the questions, and he tries to resolve the questions that are asked of him. Now the Gemara is going to bring down the other opinions, and we'll see that generally they lean very heavily towards the fact that it's from the Trumas Elishva. So Tana debate Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel aren't Kli Sharis, why me Trumas Elishva? They came from the public coffers. And it's not really the public coffers themselves, Trumas Elishva, but it's called Mutar Trumas Elishva. Then it's just left over in the public coffers. The public coffers have to be used for the Karbanos. But they didn't use all the money for the Karbanos. That which is left over is called Mutar Trumas Elishva. We're going to see that in a minute. That Mutar was what was used to pay out to do all these items. It's Shar HaKesef, by the pasuk they brought from Divrei Hayomim, it says Shar HaKesef, the leftover money. Ezu Kesef Sheish Lo Shirayim, which is money that's collected that has leftovers. Havi Omer, Zit Shumas Elishka, that is the Shumas Elishka. Veima Shirayim Gufayim, so it should be the leftovers that they used to pay for it. Kedam Arava, Ola, Ola Rishona. When it talks about that the Karbanos and the Mikdash have to be brought, it says that the Ola is talking about the Ola Tamid. And how do we know that the Ola Tamid of Shel Shachar has to be the first Korban brought in the Beis HaMikdash? So Rava says that we know because it says Ha Ola with the Hei Yidiyah. So which is Ha Ola? Which is the Ola that is brought? That is the Korban Tamid Shel Shachar. When it says Ha Ola, it means the first Ola, the Ola Shel Tamid Shel Shachar. So to over here, Akanami Ha Kesef means Kesef Rishon. It says the Shar Ha Kesef using the Hei Yidiyah. What is the Kesef? The Kesef is the Trumas HaLishka. That's how we know it comes from that money, not the Shirayim and the leftover money. So maybe it's never going to challenge this statement by Rabbi Yishmael that it comes from the Trumas HaLishka. HaKtoret, the Chol Karbanot HaTzibor by me Trumas HaLishka. This is what we discussed. The Ktoret, and all the Karbanos come from the Trumas HaLishka. These were the public offers given. They were all, Bnei Israel had a portion of giving it in, it was equally given, I mean everybody had a shekel that they gave in. Since everybody was equal, that was what was used to buy the Karbanos and the Ktoros. available now, uklisharit by mimotu nisachim. The leftovers from the nisachim were used to buy the or pay for the mizbech zahav. And what's the gold mizbech? That's mizbech toras, that's in the Kodesh. Levona, which was used with the lechem upon it, and the klisharit, and the klisharit, utensils that are used in the mikdash, came from the motar nisachim, the leftovers of the nisachim. What are the leftovers of the nisachim? We'll see in a minute. But why the mizbech zahav came out of this? Because the mizbech zahav is a kli. It's movable. The mizbech zahav is a movable mizbech. It's not affixed to the ground, and it was made out of gold. Therefore, it's treated like klisharis, and not like a part of the binyan of the mikdash. Whereas mizbech ha'ulah, the outer mizbech that was in the azara, v'alishkot, v'azarot, and all the parts of the mikdash, boy mikotchei berek avais, that came from the building fund, the maintenance fund. Chutz l'chumat ha'azara, anything that was outside the walls of the azara, boyin Mishayirei ha'lishkot, came over from the leftover of the shkot, which is what? Is the motar, or the leftovers of the Trumas Alishka. Zoi sheninu chumata iro migdalotah, the walls of the city, mean Yerushalayim and its towers. Chotzarka ir by Mishayirei ha'lishka, came over from the leftovers of the Trumas ha'lishka. Okay. So now you see that one Tana says, Tana Rabbi Shmuel says, that the klisharis came from the Trumas Alishka, whereas the bracelet that we just brought down now says that it came from the Motar Nesachim, the leftovers of the libations. That's what it was brought from. Rav says, Tanai, that is a Machlokas Tanai. It's not. We have a Mishnah in Shkolim. There are a number of items in this Mishnah which the Gemara is going to discuss. We're focused on klisharis here, but in general we're going to discuss some other items. Motar truma, mayu soimba, what do they do with the leftover truma salishka? Rikuye zaha, they used to make panels, gold plated panels. Tzipo the base kodesh hakodashim, they used to panel the kodesh hakodashim with gold panels on the inside, the walls, the floor. They used to make it out of gold. So that, they used the motar lishka, they used to use for paneling the walls of the Kodesh HaKodashim. That's what the Tanakhama says. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, motar peiros, the ketz of mizbeach. The leftover peiros, we're going to have to discuss what that is, goes for the dessert on the mizbeach. What is the dessert on the mizbeach?
Nothing else.
Right, when, in the long days, I always thought, when I was learning, it's a little kites mizbeach, because it's in the summertime, right? Because in the summertime they had longer days, and the mizbeach was empty at points because there were more people bringing the darim, the kavot, they couldn't fill up the whole day. So they used to take this extra money and buy carbonos to keep the mizbeach going all day. Motar truma l'klisharis. So this is like Rabbi Shmuel that we saw it above, right? Kind of the big Rabbi Shmuel. So this is Rabbi Shmuel himself saying it. That motar truma, left over the truma salisha, went to the klisharis. Rabbi Kiva Meir, motar truma the ketz mizbeach. No, the leftovers in the truma salishka, they used to use it as ketz mizbeach, which is to keep the mizbeach busy. Motar nisokim the klisharis. The leftovers of the Nesachim used to go to the Kli Sharit. Used to go to the utensils. So you see, Rabbi Kiva believes that the utensils were made out of the Motar Nesachim. So that's the Machlokes that we saw above. Rabbi Kanias Kanakanim, where Motar Nesachim, the Kli Sharit is back. The leftovers of the libations went to keep the Mizbeach busy. Motar Truma, the Kli Sharit. Others of the Truma went to the Klisharis. That sounds like Rabbi Ishmael. So you see that there's a Machlokas Tanoim, what we make the Klisharis out of. Rabbi Kiva believes the Klisharis came out of the Motar Nesachim, the leftovers of the libations. And Rabbi Ishmael and Rabbi Chanina Skanakalanim said that the Klisharis came out of Motar Truma. So you'll see, at least at this point, the Gemara has totally left the possibility that the klisharis would come out of Perek HaBayis, right? That it's going to come out of the funds of the Mikdash. The only machlokas now is, what does it even come from? Trumas Alishka. Does it come out of the public coffers of the Trumas Alishka? So that's a the Gemara brought down at first. Yes, it comes out of that, out of the Trumas Alishka, and they brought Rabbi Shmuel down, turned to be Rabbi Shmuel. Gemara challenged that with a price, but it said, no, it came out of Motar Sachim, it came out of the leftover libations. Now the Gemara says, that's a machlokas tanoim. And from the Mishnah and Shkolim, the Mishnah and Shkolim says Rabbi Shmuel, who is obviously Tana the Bay Rabbi Shmuel, says it comes out of Motar, the Trumas Alishka, comes out of the Trumas Alishka, whereas But Rabbi Akiva says it came out of the motei nisachim, the leftover libations. And they both agree, lo yu motim b'peiros. What is it? They didn't agree. Rabbi Shmuel, who said, motor paid the payroll to the Mizbeach, that these leftover payrolls would go to the Mizbeach, he, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Hanina Skanakalayim, disagreed with him and said there was no such thing as there was no such thing as payrolls. What are payrolls? That's what Mara wants to know. Payrolls, Mahi. What are these payrolls that Rabbi Yishmael is talking about? The Tanya. Motor Truma Mao Yosimbo. The leftover Truma Salishka, what do they do with it? Lokim, so this is at least Rabbi Yishmael says, Lokim payrolls is all. They used to buy cheap fruits out there. Omokra Tomba Yoker. So they used to do business. Basically, they invested for the. Right, they bought. Exactly. They invested for the Mikdash with the money.
Apple features.
And the leftover, the money they made from doing this, the profits they used to what? To put on the Mizbeach. Right? This is what we learned. That's what Rabbi Shmuel said. That the Motar Peros are used for the Ketzim Mizbeach. What does that mean that they didn't agree? Why didn't Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Chanis Kanagoyim agree to this Rabbi Shmuel? They used to do this. Says the parrot, it's not motor shariya lishka mayosimba, lochi behen yenot, shmanim siltot. No, they said that you bought with the leftover lishka. They don't buy fruits. They used to buy wine and oil and flour, because that's what was used on Mizbeach, and the extra money was Hekdesh to Rabbi Shmuel. There goes Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Ein Mishtakri Mishok Hekdesh. They don't do business with Hekdesh money. And not with the poor people's money. You're not allowed to do business to try to make profits, to invest on the behalf of the Mikdash, on the behalf of the Aniyim. So Rabbi Shmuel over here said what? They took the extra part of the Lishka, they invested it with the profits they put on the Mizbeach, and the core extra Motar Lishka they used to use, the Karen, the investment money they used to use for the Klisharis, and when the profits were used to keep the Mizbeach busy. Rabbi Akiva comes back and says, you don't do business with money of Hekdesh, and you don't do business with the money of the Aniyim. Why is Rabbi Akiva talking about the Aniyim? Because Rabbi Akiva was the Gabbai Stalka, right? We see that throughout Shas. When they wanted to talk about the Aniyim, Rabbi Akiva was considered the Gabbai Stalka of the Aniyim, and therefore he represented the Aniyim. So Hekdesh, my time alone. Why can't you do business with Hekdesh? Because Ein Aniyut B'Mekom Ashirut. Right, the Mikdash is a place of wealth, in a sense, meaning that it's got to be held to a certain standard. It's a place that the Kedusha's Amoko affects how you treat everything that's there. And therefore, to be doing business, to make money on the side, sounds like something that would be done in a normal business, a normal person's house. But when you're talking about the Mikdash shouldn't be involved in business transactions. It should be involved in dealing with the Dvarim Sheh Bikdusha, not in mundane matters. And therefore, it's inappropriate to act in a way that would be reflective of a normal institution or a normal business. Then it's talking about the place of the Mikdash, Makom HaShirut, that has to display only the highest standards and the highest quality. We see that in other places. The Gemara uses this term in other places. Ein HaShirut, Ein HaNiyut, Makom HaShirut. The Gemara Shabbos mentions it in terms of building the Mishkan. How come they didn't do certain things when they were making the Mishkan? Where it says that they did it in a way that was, it did it big when they did it. That was the Gemara Shabbos talks about. The Gemara Yoma talks about it also. That the other places where we don't act in a certain way because it's inappropriate behavior for a place where we're trying to hold to the highest standards and the highest dignity. Shall I need my time alone? Why don't we do business with the money of the Aniyim? Because you need to keep liquid. When it comes to funds of the Aniyim, you have to have liquid assets because you never know when somebody's going to come who has a need for the money that you have. If you invest the money, then it's illiquid and you can't liquidate the investments in order to pay out, because you'll lose money in liquidating the investments. And so therefore, it's inappropriate to invest the money where the money could be needed and needed to be in a liquid form. It would be inappropriate to invest it.
What if you have enough money to invest part of it and still keep liquidity?
Baruch Be'ezrat Hashem, it should be so good. That they should have so much.
As long as it's not a show, it shouldn't be any on you.
Right, there shouldn't be any on you either. That's a...
I left
I don't care. Take care of ours. So just to conclude here, right, the question on the daf started, or this almost started, was where did klisharis come from? Rabbi Rav and Rabbi Huna discussed it. Does the klisharis come out of the Beda Gabayat or come out of the Trumas Elishka? He, over there, they wanted to conclude, first puzzle they brought down was to show that came from Beda Gabayat, but it was from Divrei Yamin. They reject that puzzle and say, no, it only comes, klisharis only comes out of Trumas Elishka. How to resolve the pasuk in Divrei Yamin? That's because they had left over, and the basin had made it tonight. That what was left over? They used the klisharis, but in general, it comes from Trumas Elishka. And we brought down that time of debate, Rabbi Shmuel, that supported that position that it came out of Trumas Elishka. The Gemara challenges that from a brisa that where does it come from? It comes from the motar nisachim. It comes over for the leftover libations. What are the leftover libations? We should just mention that. I didn't say that, but they used to have providers to the Mikdash. They used to be suppliers to the Mikdash. And when they supplied to the Mikdash, they had to give what are called full midot. That when you came with, say there was a measuring cup, and you filled out the measuring cup with something, you could fill it up and then slice off the top. That's a basic midot. What's called Beirut midot is that they stacked it up high. They piled it up, so they had like a cone shape at the top. So they had to supply to the Mikdash with that cone shape on top. But when they brought the menachot, or they brought the nesachim, they used to slice the top off. So that extra piece was the mo'udar nesachim. That's one possibility. But there was the possibility of the extra was that they were suppliers, had to they established the price. The suppliers had to bring the mikdash for the year. Now, if it got more expensive, the suppliers were on the hook for the expense. If it got cheaper, they still had to supply the amount, even at the higher rate. Meaning that they had to, if it got cheaper, they couldn't just bring them the amount. They had to bring the equivalent money amount to them. So therefore, they had extra nesachim in that case, right? If they had agreed that it would be three to the, you know, they'd pay $3 for every cup, whatever it was, and then it went up to being, then it went to be $4 per cup, they would have to supply it at $4, and they'd lose out. Now, what happens if they agreed to supply it at $4 per cup, and it went down in price to $3 per cup? They still had to supply $4 worth, which would be in excess of what they needed, but they still had to supply it at the $4 amount, even though it could be bought cheaper at $3.
So that pays the lower to higher price. Right. To cover your potential loss.
Right.
I think they were to get
their money's worth anyway. They wouldn't lose out.
They wouldn't get the excess.
It wouldn't be excess. What you're describing.
Or neither way, no higher price.
Right. But in the next case, you just. I know how long it's
been. Okay. It's for a year. It's a one-year contract. It was an option. Basically, the Mikdash had an option. They went their way every way.
Okay.
Right? They were on the upper hand in these situations. So we brought a price that says it comes from the Motu Nesachim. What's the leftover piece of the Nesachim? That, the Gemara says, that's Machlokas tonight. Rabbi Shmuel says it comes from the Trumas Elishka, so does Rabbi Kanina Sekana Kohanim. Whereas Rabbi Akiva said it came from the Motar Nesachim. So that we says Machlokas tonight. As a side, we mentioned that Rabbi Shmuel also said, where do they bring the case of Mizbeach from? Motar Peirot. Because Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Kanina Sekana Kohanim argued on them and said, no, you don't bring from Motar Peirot because we don't do business with the money of Hekdesh.